So I don't know how I feel about this scarf, but you know what? I feel like I want to do something different for you guys. So here I am wearing a scarf. Let me know in the comment section how my scarf looks or what you guys think. But welcome to another episode of Sense and Rants. It is Motunrayo Adeola. On today's episode, I'm joined by Jide, Uzi. You guys already know Uzi, and of course George. And we're talking about dreams and envisioning yourselves as who you want to be. Yes, there is a part one of this video with Somto. I think that was last year, but now I'm bringing in more people to have conversations about this. Let's see how it goes. Thank you so much for coming on Sense and Rants. On this episode, we're talking about dreams and envisioning yourself as who you want to be. We have Uzi. You guys should know Uzi already, a Sense and Rant household name, and
Yes.
George, of course, our ever returning guest. And we have your first timer, Olajide. I think you guys know Olajide by now, but you've not met him on the podcast. So guys, introduce yourselves. Ladies first, Uzi.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so hi guys. I mean, this probably is my fourth. I can't remember how many times I've been on this podcast, but it's always great to be here. And my name is Uzi. I'm an economist and I'm wrapping up a PhD. So that means I'm just always stressed. But I just like contributing to the podcast and, having a good time. It's always a good time on this stuff. So looking forward to today's one.
Yeah, so Uzi's graduating or wrapping up, like she said in 2 months. We're gonna be calling her Dr. Uzi on this episode. Just
I know.
respect that name, respect that degree.
I guess, yeah.
Very cool, very cool.
Who wants to go next? George is drunk, so just don't judge him, but yeah.
My name is George. Yes. This is my, I think my third appearance.
Your fourth time.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Your fourth. Yeah, they're literally
It's always a blast. I feel like whenever I come on here, it's like the best time. And I'm a human resources advisor, and I used to be a correctional officer. So I've
Wow.
career changes in my life. And now I am, advising at that macro level. So I am here, and I am here to contribute. So,
Thank
yes.
you. Micromanager. Olajide.
Very cool. So yeah, my name is Olajide Ajala, and I'm a filmmaker, I guess creative, if you will. I also do music. I'm a singer, songwriter, and filmmaker. So yeah,
So
just anything
close.
in the creative space, please don't do
You know.
nothing.
I am
Nothing. Not.
calling. I'll actually link the song. Yes, you guys can listen.
Oh my
Calling.
goodness, don't do it. Don't do this to me. But yeah, that's me. Pretty
Nice.
much.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming. So I watched a show yesterday, and the person said, "What did you want to be as a child?" And the lady said, "An astronaut because she wanted to see God." Which
Yeah, that's one way. I mean, yeah.
Which brings us to the question, what did you want to be as a child? I wanted to be a filmmaker, which is interesting, but every road that I've taken or every career path that I've tried, filmmaking has been the last thing that I tried, and I didn't even go to it until last year. So let's talk about what you guys wanted to be as kids.
Yeah, we'll start. So for me, I feel like growing up, I was that problem child. I was always like, I was stubborn. I was always arguing. I was like, never, like, I couldn't see myself. I was always right. So, my parents kind of like talked to me about, being a lawyer and like, be our lawyer. And growing up with so many siblings, everybody had their own profession. So, my own was law. So, I guess I saw myself being a lawyer, but we all know how that pans out when you get exposed to so many other things. So yeah,
So I met you were doing, you were trying to study, was it criminology or criminal law or something at U of M?
I did get admission to study law in University of Nigeria in Nsukka. I remember vividly. And
I did
what
2 years.
happened,
I did 2 years, and then I was like, yeah, nah.
oh yeah, I was ready and I paid everything and ready to go, but I applied for a visa to go to Canada, and then I did criminology because that was the closest thing to law. And couldn't do law as direct entry. So I had to choose something, and it came down to criminology and psychology.
Nice.
Uzi? I think growing up, I wanted to be an accountant. And the reason I wanted to be an accountant was just because I love numbers. Like, I've always loved numbers. And so I was just like, I was going to do accounting. And yeah, that changed slightly.
You're not far off, though, I feel like.
Not far off, you know?
Me and accounting, until they're cousins. I mean, honestly,
they are not sisters, to be fair. They're not even cousins. Serious? They are more like 4 generations apart. Because, and I think that happens the more you study something. So because I've been studying economics for such a long time, I do see that, you know, they are really, really divergent. But yeah, I was just that child that grew up being good at so many things. That at every point in time, I could have been a lot of things, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but
because it's Nigeria, you know, growing up in Nigeria, you just choose something that is more responsible. Because in another world, I probably would have been an athlete, or I would have been a dancer somewhere, or a singer somewhere, you know. But yeah, in the world I was living in, I was going to be an accountant. But today I'm an economist, so yeah.
That's interesting. If you ever want to consider that career in music, please talk to Jude. Can you help me get started?
Do you perform?
When I was doing my master's, I did have one performance. So yeah, we had like a Nigerian what was it called? It was like an Independence Day event or something like that. And so they were looking for people to do some stuff, like, hey, if you want to dance, if you want to do spoken words, if you want to do all that stuff. I was like, you know what? I'm going to rap, guys. And everybody was like, really? Okay. You're going to rap? I was like, yep, I will do an original. And I did, and it was insane. It was the reaction was off the charts.
Do you have a video?
And then you retired, right?
I do have a video.
Share so we can tag it here.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah,
but for me, I think growing up, honestly, I think I wanted to be like a police officer or something, you know, when you're in primary school. And yeah, you just have all these very interesting dreams. So I think that's what it was. I always loved performances and music and all of that. But it just didn't seem like a dream that was, you know, feasible in the Nigerian space and all of that. And afterwards, like secondary school, I thought I was going to become a doctor. And then after school, that kind of, I was actually, you know. So yeah. So after school, I joined like a community of creatives, and it just opened my mind when I saw people doing something similar. Like, you know what? I think I want to go to film school and just chase this career path. And that's how this happened. Dreams of becoming a policeman and doctor just
died. You know, but next death in Jesus' name. So
I know.
You told your parents you were going to study film in the abroad, and they said yes?
I mean, obviously, it wasn't that easy. I told my dad, you know, when they got tired, like, okay, tell me, what do you really want to do? And, you know, I was in my dad's room, and I'm like, you know what? I want to study cinematography. And there was a long pause. Talk to your brother. You guys get back to me. But yeah, after a while, just like, no, this guy's too stubborn. We might as well just try to support this dream and see how it goes. But yeah, that was pretty much it.
That's amazing. I remember, like, I wanted to do theater and film growing up, because I watched Salaam Bombay. It's an Indian. It's a 1988 Indian film. It's a very beautiful movie. If you've never seen it, go watch it. And I was like, I want to tell stories like that. And then, of course, life happened. Then I was just like, okay, no, I'm going to become a lawyer, like a human rights activist. So like, Gani Fawa and Yemi type, you know, Nigerian lawyer. What's Fawzi's father's name?
Falana.
Activist. I'm going to do this type thing. You know, that was the dream. And then I held on to that dream first year of law, like I can't do this. Second year of law, I can't, maybe not. Maybe not. I went into something completely different. I did I learned makeup and hair and fashion and stuff like that. And I was like, you know what, this is nice, but it's not going to do the thing. I went back to school for screenwriting and my master's as well in screenwriting, and we're here. And I'm glad to announce that I did not completely fail, because I made a film. I did not completely fail.
And your scarf is a token to your fashion days.
My fashion days. I actually dress well. If I put attention to it, it comes out nice sometimes. I also have that money, that rich auntie money when I have it.
your fur coat and everything.
You know, you will get it. So talking about people that make career changes, George, let's talk. How did that change?
For me, I feel like career change for me has always been, you know, something that has not been technically like mapped out in a sense. So I feel like when I started out with, okay, I went to school to do criminology and psychology. I started thinking about like what options were available to me in that field. And as an immigrant to Canada, and I was like, oh, okay, this is something that I would definitely have limitations in, you know, how far I can go, how much money I can make if I'm not a citizen of Canada. So I already started understanding all of that aspect as, you know, first year, second year in university, because you see your peers that are, you know, getting internships with Canada Border Services or like the Royal Mounted Police Force in Canada. And you're just like, oh, okay, you can't do that because you're not a citizen or permanent resident. So like I started thinking about that. And then when I did start out in law enforcement, which was in the corrections, I started like looking at, okay, from here now, where can I go? Which made me technically start looking into opportunities for self-development, career paths. And while looking at these career paths, I was looking at, you know, what can I use to complement what I currently have? And with this, I was able to look at the big picture. Okay, what field blends criminology, psychology, social work, working with people, and all those things? And I ventured into the world of health and safety as well and did a certificate in health and safety. And then I became registered and I was like, okay, now that I've done working with people at that personal level, how do I take it to a macro level? Which for me was policy change and, you know, being part of the discussions around policies that affect people. So human resources just was the only thing that was, you know, that made sense to me. And then I decided to go to the UK and do a master's in HR. And then when I finished, I started like mapping out the top five places that I will want to be, which successfully and the stars would align. And that happened that I ended up with one of them. And then I decided to move back to Canada and continue that. Okay. So I'm always like five years ahead. I'm always thinking 2 years down, 3 years down, like just mapping out that process so that, you know what, if I'm not, you know, there, I can still hold on to something and like, you know, work towards getting there.
Man, that is amazing. Yeah. So now that I know you have money, can you be my sugar daddy? Like, I know you have this money, please.
This money, devil, wait there.
Uzi, the change from accounting to economics.
To be fair, I wouldn't even say I actually changed because I never really started that career, you know?
That's true.
Yeah, okay. Like, it was a secondary school thing. And so in my secondary school, we're like only six students in an accounting class, which was odd. We were only six people that were taking accounting.
Wow.
And then, I was going to study accounting until I won a Central Bank scholarship. This was in 2009 or so. So the Central Bank then, they were having like this 50th anniversary thing. And part of celebrating the 50 years anniversary was this essay competition in secondary schools across Nigeria. So I participated in that ESSE competition, and I was the best in South. And so I got a scholarship to study economics. So that was how economics was always there, because my dad was a huge proponent of economics. He was like, ooh, Uzi, accounting is so narrow. Economics is much more broader and stuff. So economics was always in the discussion, but it wasn't at the top of the list.
Yeah.
But when I got the scholarship, my mom, everyone was like, you know what? It would just be a good thing to have on your CV going forward and stuff like that. And so I already feel it as a second choice in my JAMB form and stuff. And so that's how I actually then family went into economics.
So thanks to Central Bank and your parents for making this happen. I'm not sure you actually had a change or anything. Did you?
What do you say?
I'm not sure you had a change in any way.
Yeah, like from when I decided I was going to film school, there was no change really. You know, just different departments in like the film industry or film sector. So like a lot of times when I talk to people, I always knew I wanted to direct, I wanted to be a cinematographer, shoot. But I had to like really learn every single department. Like I've done makeup, I've done grip, I've done electric work, you know, I've done everything, I've done sound. So I feel like to be like the all-round director, you kind of have to know a little bit about every single department. So I had to, you know, work in all these departments. So when I relate to these people, I kind of understand them. I understand the terminology, the language, or, you know, what they're saying and all. So, but for me, it's been that same industry from the time I decided, you know, that's what I was going to do. I mean, so, you know, somewhere along the way, because you're a struggling filmmaker, sometimes you're looking for money. So, you know, there was a brief period where I went into like the corporate world, you know, with solar. I worked for like a solar company for a little bit, but you know, but besides that, I've been on this film journey like all like since the start, basically. And here we are.
My journey. Yeah. So I went into law, and then I went back to film, and then I went to corporate America, and then I did military. I eat corporate America and I'm back to military. And then now I'm doing film. I feel like, this year, 2022, I'm doing all three simultaneously, which is wild. But I wouldn't say I'm choosing right now. I'm just saying I'm letting one pay for the other, like feeding the other dreams until, you know, film can say, right, I got you, boo. And then we can dump it. everything. So let's identify. Let's talk about some of the struggles you experienced starting off, you know, with your career paths.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like being because what when I finished university at 21, like I felt like I needed that time to take like a gap year and like travel. And like really, really explore and understand what exactly I wanted to do in my life. But at the same time, I was greedy in a sense, because I was applying to so many things to the point that I lost track of all the things I applied to. So when it started trickling in, and I found myself in a space where I had to say yes and just up and move to this new city, which is, and start my professional career. And then when I got in there, I was like, I felt like I was trapped, because I am fighting against status, and I'm also fighting against like, you know, staying in a career that could potentially become that place where you find as a that thing that you find as home, as convenient and comfortable. And And I did give myself like 5 to 7 years to be in that career. And when I passed the 5-year mark, I found myself being so comfortable because the money was good. I was able to travel around the world. I had so many great friends, and leaving and starting all over again was just scary. But by the time the 7-year mark comes around, that's when the pandemic hit. And I just used that opportunity as a way out, because I kept moving forward my master's degree or changing.
Yeah, you really did.
To the point that, you know, I did this real reflection on like myself and my career, and like looked at the people that were there and people that already spent 20 years. And I saw how grumpy and how frustrated they were with their jobs and where they were at, and how they always talk about they could have achieved more, but they did not, because the pay is good. It's comfortable. So for me, like, I felt like I had to like pack up and go, because that would give me the motivation to, you know, forge ahead in a new direction. And that was what I did. But the sacrifice, the comfortability, it helped. I mean, the trip were amazing. Like, I had many things, and it was convenient, but then it became limiting because there was a lot of people relying on me. There was a lot of family relying on me. And there's a lot of things that I just pretty much got into the parent role at that young age, which for me, I did not spend time. That's why me, that's why I'm like this now, because I feel like I have to compensate. I missed.
Yeah. I feel you on that responsibility though. Like, it sometimes it just feels like as an immigrant, right, you have people waiting for you, you have people to support. And sometimes you forget your own dreams and just trying to take care of other people. And then you look down 10 years, it's like, wait, what? That has been 10 years? How? Where did the time? Let me do something for myself. And it's hard. It's actually a difficult balance. Jide or Uzi, what's up?
To be fair, I think my journey has been quite linear. And why I say it's been quite linear is because from a young age, I knew what I wanted. I knew where I had a very good idea of where I wanted to be. And to tell you how much of a good idea I had of where I wanted to be, I found an old diary recently. And on the back of this old diary, which I dated and everything, I wrote this stuff when I was in SS3. And the very last thing on the list of my to-do list was get a PhD before you turn 30. I'll be 30 in August. I'll be finishing my PhD in June. So that is how much. You see what I mean? It's like, so I think in terms of struggle, what I have really had to do is I feel a lot of pressure, but that pressure is a pressure I put on myself because I had all these targets and stuff of things I wanted to do and all that stuff. And I come from a family where everyone is kind of on the overachieving side. Mm-hmm. And so it is, my mom had a PhD at 25 or 26 or something like that. And so it's tricky then, because I feel all my life up until now, I have that thing of, oh my gosh, you cannot really step, you know, you can't make a wrong step because people are like, you know, you cannot let these people down, you cannot let yourself down, kind of stuff. So I think my struggle till now has been very internal in terms of, you know, trying to find that balance of getting what I want to do, but also not letting life pass by, which is why here they call me like the turn up queen and stuff. But I do this stuff because I know I have to leave while I still do what I want to do. Because this path can be a bit, you know, solo. It's a soloist road. And so that struggle has been much more internal and less about, you know, a struggle per se. It's more like just staying on the path that I have chosen and trying to also find a way to live life while I still walk that path, you know.
That's amazing. I'll let you there.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like my journey has been, you know, it's been mixed. Any creative will tell you it's a really tough, it's very, very tough industry out there. Like, just you're trying to make money, but you're also trying to create, you know, try to create passionate projects you're passionate about, right? And for me, I think I've just been going. So Motoraya knows this, you know. I told Motoraya I want to make movies. That's what I want to do. But at the same time, I've been directing music videos for however long, right? Because it pays the bills, it does all of this, you know. So that's what I've been doing. And until like Motoraya came along, I'm waiting for the perfect script, the perfect everything. She's just like, let's do this, you know. And we jumped into it and we made this film.
We read through our emails yesterday.
Exactly. And I feel like, you know, just waiting for that perfect moment, sometimes there's no perfect moment, like just go for it. You know, for me, I feel like I've been a little fortunate as well with, like, you know, I've had like a great support system with like my brother, my sister, where, you know, when it really got tough, you know, they were there to kind of like support me and encourage to me, because there was no turning back for me. Like, this is what I'm doing, and I've just been, you know, forging on and pushing on. And it's been a fun ride. You know, a lot of times I ask myself, like, would I do this again? If, you know, if I had to do it all over, and the answer is yes. You know, I always felt like I was going to move back to Nigeria just to contribute to the industry. A lot of times people see me and they're like, why are you here again? Why did you move back? Like, everyone is trying to leave this place. And you're coming in here. So, but it's like you said, it's like having a vision, right? Having a dream, like, this is what I want to do. The goal was always finish film school, get some experience, come back to Nigeria. I still, you know, travel. I feel like the way the world is today, you don't have to be in one place. You can be in multiple places, mm-hmm. you know? So I could live here 6 months or whatever, but just in general, like, the journey has been pretty bumpy, you know, along the road, but it's just like that dream. That's, I feel like that's what keeps me going every time, like, just the end goal, like, no, you do this, and, you know, and yeah. And we're still on that journey. So yeah.
Thank you guys. So George mentioned something about responsibilities, and I'm just gonna say, but do I feel you on that? Like, I know sometimes what it is to, like, either choose to travel or be like, this person wants to pay tuition, and for me, feed is education. Education is getting my money. It doesn't matter what my plans were. And it's interesting that you said, you know, you had people in your family that you could not fail. I think mine were like, you feel like you have expectations to be better than. I'm from a family that I had to push myself. Like, I had to be different. I had to be more, just because I'm not from a Western educated family. And I'm like, I would get that first degree. I would get that second degree. I would do this. I would do that. And it's just like pushing myself as a child. And as an adult now, I feel like sometimes I don't know when to stop. And that's my struggle. Like, just taking a breath and just like calming down is something that I am literally struggling with. Like, I always want to go, go, go. And so far, this is done, knock it out. Okay, give me the next one, give me the next one. And it's just like, I'm struggling learning to just take a breather like you and just be the queen of the party. Funny enough, yesterday I was in bed and I was, you know, I need to learn. I actually really need to learn. I was looking through my phones and I was like, wow, I don't have pictures of myself. Like, I don't have pictures or like videos celebrating. I don't really have a lot. I'm like, I might regret looking back and not taking those pictures. They might not be perfect or whatever, but I need to start taking more pictures just to like show that I was here, you know, show that I did this and that and that. I need to do that. And allegedly, being a creative is an interesting one. Like, there is no, I feel like with most career path, when you say, okay, you know, you do 5 years, you get to be a senior, you do 10 years, you get to be a director. It's not the same with being a creative. It's just sometimes the stars align and other times it's just like, you might literally do one project and everybody knows you, hey, you're a big time. And then you might do 10, 20, and then it's the 30th one that people are saying, oh, wait, you've been at this game for that long. I have been. So, yeah, that's interesting. But let's talk about how you guys, George, the planner, the 5-10 years planner for the struggles that you had along the way. How were you able to overcome those? You know, the struggles of being able to keep your dreams alive when your responsibilities were saying no. How were you able to just push yourself and your dreams first?
I'm a really, really strong believer of self-care and being able to take care of yourself first.
Your face because is even shining. I can see that.
It's glowing.
I know.
In as much as I have all these responsibilities, I always think about the fact that, like, if I'm not able to take care of myself, I cannot fulfill these responsibilities. Mm. So that balance, I would say, it doesn't necessarily need to be 50-50. Mm-hmm. For me, in this sense, the responsibility could have been like maybe 70, and then my self-care aspect would be 30, which for that 30 for me is good enough because I'm not high maintenance. So
I sense a lie. I can sense lies.
Let's stop lying, sir. Let's not do that.
When I mean the 30, the sense is that maybe the 30 is all about travel. That's my self-care. That's that 30. So like I don't
travel and something. You're missing the essential one, George.
You would say what?
You know, there's something that starts with an A, S with an L. It's a bit liquid, you know. It's like
I don't understand. The one to start.
When you take too much of it, the second one in your head might be a little.
You know what I mean?
I don't understand what you're talking about, but if you're talking about like travel and drink water, that's me. I drink water and I travel.
Change that water that's to L, okay? And L, I can see
his nose getting longer the more he talks about it.
No, being able to remember that, because if you're not able to be healthy enough to fulfill these responsibilities, that's going to be a disservice to not just yourself, but also to the people that are, you know, waiting for you at that line. So going back to the question again, what was the question again?
How did you overcome? Oh, Lord. How did you overcome your struggles?
Oh, I did overcome, yes. So I did overcome these struggles by being grounded in that fact that I know where I want to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm always dreaming. I'm a dreamer. Like, yeah. There's one thing about me and being able to see the world in a space where I can never be satisfied. I can never be comfortable or, you know, just sit back and relax in any opportunity or any role that I've been in. And being able to look at myself in that perspective that, you know, I deserve and I will get the things that I put my mind to is one of the things that I've actually been able to pride myself in. Like, I mean, like I would apply to 20,000 jobs if I have to, but at the end of the day, like I know that the job for me will always be for me because in as much as, you know, things might not turn out to be the way you want them to be, or it might not be that happy ending that you've always wanted, but being able to set yourself on that path and being able to work towards that goal is something that I feel like the universe should, you know, reward you with that, you know, that thing, because at the end of the day, like, who are you holding it out for? Like, so... Overcoming the obstacles and all that stuff is something that, you know, if you want to really, really put things into perspective, and if you put your mind to the things that you want, and hopefully the universe aligns, because I know for some people the universe never aligns, but just being able to just keep digging deep and just understanding who you are, where you are, and what you want to be is something that I have always done at every point in my life. And even right now, like I have a really great job, but I'm still looking outside to see
there is, you
know, what color the grass is, because at the end of the day, I know the grass is not always green on the other side, but trust me, there are people's yards that the grass is greener. So yeah. I'm always looking, because if my people start to run mad, I'm over there on the other side, you know, looking for better things, because you never know. So that's me, I feel.
Two things I actually said. You said that the universe always aligns. And then who is the universe holding it out for, if not for you? I like that confidence, because it just means that if you do your part, you expect things to always work out. But you also said sometimes the universe does not align, which isn't anybody's fault. It just means you tried and it probably just didn't work in your favor. But I hope that, you know, it continues to work out. God, you know, no, God, let it work out. MFO with a start.
It might not be today, but it will work out. It has to.
Yeah.
I like today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I agree with George. There was something he said, you know, when he said, I'm a dreamer. I feel the same way, you know. For me, I'm a dreamer. Like, I believe, you know, all my, like, sometimes, you know, when you have these prayer points, right? And you're always praying, you know, and after a while, it just becomes bullet points every single day. You're reciting the same prayers. And then one day, you're reciting your prayers, and then you pray, and then I think that came through already.
Already.
And then you realize everything on the list already happened. So you're like, damn, okay, I need to come up with a new list now.
Yeah.
So I really do believe, you know, one of my favorite quotes is by Charlie Chaplin. You know, he says failure is unimportant. You know, it takes courage to make you fool of yourself. Mm. And I feel like with everything I do, I kind of go into that, like, what's the worst that can happen? You know, really, I make a fool of myself. So what? You know? So with that in mind, I still try regardless. I feel like as long as you give it your best, you know, it would, there's a high chance it will work out. And if it doesn't, you try the next thing. You know, everything I've always set out to do, I feel like I've always, you know, seen it to the end. So, yeah. So basically, I think for me, that's like how I tend to tackle and think about these things, to be honest. Yeah,
that is actually amazing. But okay, I know people always say, well, failure is a good thing, you learn from failure. Yes, but can we talk about the heart right now? Can we talk about the tears, premium tears? That'd be wrong sometimes. Because it's like, chop, yes, I know I will learn tomorrow, but right now it hurts like a
I'm hurting right now. Yeah, and that's real, you know. Yeah. And I think we should be able to, we should learn to embrace that, right? Failure, no one wants to fail, but these things happen, right? And you just have to, I think that's one thing for me. I'm able to move on quickly. Even if the house is burning down, I'm very calm under pressure. And afterwards, I might cry about it and talk about it.
Hold on, Elijah, let me tell you people. Olajide's patience in this world, bruh. Like, I've met some patient people, but you see Olajide's patience, it will try your own patience.
Oh, no.
Like, oh my god, yeah, I don't know how you do it.
I think so, you know, but yeah, it's just, I don't know, the way I view the world sometimes is like, well, let's not dwell on it. You know, it's sometimes it gets very annoying, like things happen and you're just like, okay, let's not do that again. But it's happened now. So how do we get over it and how do we learn from that and just try to push, you know, forward? At the end of the day, we're human and we, you know, can lose control sometimes. But I feel like at the end of the day, as long as we focus on the goal and what that dream is or the goal is, then yeah, you really get to that point and build relationships. I value relationships a lot, you know. Relationships are very huge for me. So every time I meet new people and I encounter new people, I always think, okay, is this someone I want in my life? Is this someone that I could see myself building with in the future? So that way I try not to like burn bridges and things like that, because you just never know, right? And there's some people like, nah, I never want this person anywhere close to my life. But you know, so I feel like it's all a process, really. Like everything is just about learning and growing. So that's, you know, that's my take. Yeah.
Uzi. Wait, doctor. Let's say doctor. From now,
no, don't worry. The doctor respect. Is still loading. Doctor, still loading. You know what I mean? It's loading. It's so small. I think for me, it's been a lot about resilience. It's been a lot about things don't work out, you just get up and you try it again and again and again. You re-strategize, you go back to the drawing table, you replan, you go back to it. And I think what comes to mind is when I made this my amazing list way back in SS3, on the list was I had to make a first class. I knew I had to make a first class because I'm like, if I'm going to get a PhD all on scholarship and stuff, grades has to be amazing. Mm-hmm. So I went into Uniport. And you know, when you get into school and stuff, and everyone is like, you know,
yeah. Well, I did a support for boy, port. Just so you know.
Easy, unique lunatics.
Okay, now settle down, but sure.
There was this whole thing of, you know, there's never really been a first class graduate from economics, like economics department. And in my head, I'm like, you know what? I mean, there's about to be one. It just is going to happen. And so I made a plan, and the plan was like every day. For the 4 years I was going to be there, I studied every day for 3 hours. It was unbreakable. Everybody knew between 7 to 10, Uzi is unavailable because Uzi is going to be studying between 7 to 10. And I start studying the first day of the semester. And I did this until I finished. And in my head, I was like, if I stick to this, then there is no way. Like, except my villagers are working overtime. But if they are not working overtime, there is no way. And so I think, in a way, that's how I've kind of approached life generally. It's like, I understand that things take effort, and I'm ready to put in that effort. And I do know that sometimes it's inconvenient, and sometimes you just rather be doing something else. But in my head, I remind myself, where are you going? What are you doing? Okay, for you to do this, you have to do this. And so I think it comes down to that self-discipline. I have that overarching self-discipline. I can just get the work done and ignore everything else. And then I think another thing that's really, really worked for me is like time management. Well, which makes sense because I had blocked times. Yeah. But then also I used to swim like every week, and it was a thing. I had to swim every Wednesday because I'm like, if I don't go, then I wouldn't go another time. And so I think it has now carried over into my adult life where I'm able to do my PhD. If you see my social media and stuff, it always looks like I'm having fun, which is not true.
It's true. There was a day I was like, how is this girl doing an entire freaking PhD?
Exactly. Everybody says this. Even my PhD colleagues say this. They're like, I don't understand how you're doing it. But is the fact that I know every day from the first day I started my PhD, I treat my PhD as a 9 to 5. I'll put in my 8 hours. And after that 8 hours, I'm free to do whatever I want to do. And so I go on and I do other things, you know. So I think the way I've just, and a good support system, like Jide said, because sometimes you start losing motivation, sometimes you start losing focus, you know. But then there are people that you shared your dreams with. And that's why I do appreciate old friends like George, because these are people that known you for years, and they've heard you say where you've wanted to be, where you are going. And sometimes when you talk to them and they feed it back to you,
like, I actually, the people that are invested in your success.
And you know, you get that motivation again, and you get back on the road, and you get back to doing what needs to be done.
Yeah, but so I think that.
What did you say?
I'm waiting to retire so that
and yeah, so I think that's just been it. And you know, that's just having that for me, it's just been that discipline, fighting with myself and, you know, defeating my laziness mentally and, you know, getting what needs to be done and relying on support when I need it, and actually learning how to reach out for help when I need it as well. So yeah,
that's amazing. I think my own tool would be writing down the dream, like vision. I'm very huge on, you know, break down the vision into timelines, break it down. But why are you rolling your eyes, Elijah Day? Yeah, like write down the vision. There's a Bible verse that says, write down the vision, make it plain, like every single step. I have it on my vision board. I have it on my phone, my laptop, like broken down, like literally every quarter you see what I'm doing, you see where I want to go and things like that. And I'm also huge on, like you said, you know, sharing it with friends and family. And this is shout out to Ngozi, man. That is one of my accountability partner. Like, what did you say you were going to, hey babe, it's April 1st. You said you were going to do this alpha. And it's just like, child, just April 1st. It's 12-1-1 April 1st. Like, calm down. We just entered the month. And it's just like, she's like, when you talk, you know, when it comes to dreams and what you want to do, for me, again, I also have like different people for different things. So they're not overwhelmed every single time. Like my military life now, completely different person, but my film life, my friendship, I also like not just friends with everything that understands where I'm trying to go in everything in life. There are some people that are assigned to different parts, so they're able to show up for me in different ways and different places. But Ngo, man, shout out to you, my homegirl.
I just want to add a little bit to what you just said, Maturayo, with the fact that you have your military life, you have your film life, you have your own personal life. So. Yep. Being able to understand that you as a person, you are all of these different aspects of you make up who you are. Mm-hmm. So being able to devote the time and the resources to feed each of those perspectives of your life and make that balanced as a person, it's something that complements you as a person. So definitely one of those things that we tend to forget that in as much as we are, like for me, in as much as I am, you know, responsible for people, yeah. I'm also responsible for myself. So yeah. if I'm not, you know, balanced in the how I'm sharing the resources in my own life, mm-hmm. it's a disservice to myself and to the people that I'm responsible for. So
I'm not sure how balanced I am, because sometimes sue me, like Uzu Abaka said, like Uzu said, I feel like I'm drinking the water in that pool. Like, what is all this? Like, what is all this mess that I got myself into? But you know, sometimes we put up the appearance. Sometimes it works. Well, most times it works, but sometimes it's just like, I'm under the water. So
it's normal. Like, it is, it's totally normal. Like, you don't necessarily need to find like that right ratio and that formula and stuff, because like let's say for example, now you as a podcaster, for instance, it's the amount of time you put into this is it's not as much as the amount of time you put into your military life. So being able to, well, I'm making an exaggeration, I'm making an assumption right there, but yeah. just like for me, I say the amount of time I put into my own personal, my work life is just about as enough for me to be able to have the social life to balance it out. Yeah. So in my own mind, I'm making those calculations about what is adequate for each of my own self.
Yeah.
And it makes sense to me. It's not totally like 50-50 or like 25-25-25-25, but in some ways I feel like, you know, it's the right formula. And for each person, that formula is different.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So there's a quote by one of my friends, Tolu, that says, "When you see people do something, it becomes clear to you that you too can do it." Let's talk representation and mentorship. So we all have at some point been in different parts outside of Nigeria, and then allegedly returning back to Nigeria. What was representation? What does it mean to you right now? And how has mentors or a mentor helped you in your career? And that's how we're going to round up this episode.
Should I go first?
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Elijah, you go first.
I feel like I've been going first. Yeah.
Okay, so for me, I guess mentorship representation. So I went to film school when was that again? 2000, and I graduated from film school in 2011. So graduated from film school. And
wait, your first degree or your second degree?
No, first degree. So my bachelor's, you know? Okay. Yeah, so 2011. So I had this professor, instructor, Rob Tuscany. He was like my final thesis film, you know, professor or whatever. And well, I wouldn't say we were really close, but I just enjoyed his way of, you know, teaching and tutoring and stuff. So after school, that I wanted to start my career and I was looking for who to hire as my like cinematographer, you know, I reached out to him like, "Hey, you know, I have this project I'm trying to create. Do you mind, you know, filming this for me?" And he was down, you know, like, yeah, like, "I got you, like, let's do this." So he became, you know, like, now I have my professor as someone I'm hiring.
Mm-hmm.
This guy knows pretty much everything, but he still treated me with respect and all of that. And I started, you know, that's how I started my career, basically. And, you know, he would shoot projects for me, and it was just so amazing, you know, and I never forgot that, you know. So now I'm in Nigeria and people reach out to me all the time. Like, I have these guys that just message me like, "Oh, we just want to come shadow you on set," you know, and just being able to give back, you know, because people helped me along the way as well. Like, they didn't have to. And so every time I think about mentorship, and I think it, because you never really know. And my goal is I could also learn from these people, even though I'm more experienced. I have, you know, all this vast experience, I still learn from them. And you never know where, you know, where that it takes them, or those experiences will take them. Because for me, I feel like it propelled me, you know, further in my career. And so mentorship is, I feel like it's very important and it's huge. It's been huge for my career so far. And I feel like it's still going to be bigger. You know, I still look for mentorship, like, even going forward. So yeah, that's been my own experience, you know, so far.
Nice, amazing. We also had we had a couple interns on our set for MFO too, which was
cool. Exactly, which was cool. Yeah, very hardworking too. So yeah.
Doctor Nduka.
All right, once this page loads, I would give you a special notification. I think for me, like for presentation, I'll approach this from two ways, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously I had mentioned that my mom got a PhD at a very young age. And so I'd known, like, you know, for me, she was a role model for me in that aspect. And it was something I wanted for myself as well. And then when I was in SS3, around that period was when NOI Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala just got back to Nigeria around that period.
Yeah.
And so she became that representation for me. Like, she became something someone I aspired to be. And that hasn't changed, because, you know, with her current feats and stuff in the, you know, Wall Street and stuff. So she has always been that kind of gold standard for me of where I want to be. Mm. And I know I would be either at the World Bank or the IMF one day. It's a matter of when you get.
Yeah.
And absolutely. For me, yeah, it's like representation for me, seeing these people that have shared a certain similar background to me and, you know, who occupy these positions that I am kind of, you know, striving towards. And then at every point of my studies, I have had people that have guided me. So in my undergrad, there was this professor, he did his PhD in MIT, I think, and then he came back to Uniport and stuff. And from my very first year, he marked one of my scripts and he's like, Uzi, you're going to make a first class. It's going to happen. But this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. So from that time till I graduated, he became someone like I could just go to and just talk with. Yeah. And the more I spoke to him and the more I spoke to my parents, I always had an outside mindset. I knew I was not going to be in Nigeria. I just knew it, because all these people who were around me were always saying, oh, this is what you should be looking to. This is what you should be doing. And then when I came to do my master's here, funny enough, somehow by some luck of fate, my supervisor was an Ethiopian, and this helped me so much, like from the first meeting I had with him and stuff. And even my PhD here, he wrote me a very strong reference letter for me to be able to get my PhD on scholarship here. Mm-hmm. And he's still part of my PhD supervisory team right now. So he's someone that has done a lot for me in that space. And I think, like, now that I'm kind of transitioning now into like a new kind of working space rather than less of a student role, I have identified another mentor who is like my line manager, and he is amazing. It's hard to say that about your line manager, but he is actually really amazing and awesome. And he has already started, like, you know, giving me pointers of how to, like, you know, move forward and things to do and stuff like that. And like Jide said, I also believe in, like, paying things back. And when I was in, if I remember, they said there could not be any first class person, blah 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 blah. So when I was on the way to get to the first class, I did have like some first year students reach out to me, and they're like, oh, how are you doing it, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And funny enough, three of them now, two made first class, and three of them are in the US doing their PhDs in economics.
Incredible.
Yeah. So I have been able to, like, you know, give these people pointers as well in things that I didn't do, things I did, things I wish I did. And I am so happy, like, on their own parts, you know, those things are kind of manifesting for them as well. And hopefully they'll be able to, you know, keep paying it forward and just keep going.
Yeah. Wow, that is amazing. George!
How could I even top that? But okay. I mean, for me, when I started school, and because, like, I was going into criminology, it's already a field that, let's say, Nigerians or Black people in total don't necessarily see themselves represented enough in, especially in Canada and, like, in the space where, you know, there's not a lot of awareness with regards to what the future holds for you, mm-hmm. coming from that degree. So in my classes, I did not see a lot of people. Like, out of 30 people, I'd say only like maybe two or three were people that looked like me.
Yeah.
So that was already a setback for me in a sense, because I felt like I was in a space that I could not, you know, thrive.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to be, you know, any less than, or make myself feel less than I'm as well, but it's just that realization in that space you are in right there where you are able to understand, like, people that have been there before you and put yourself in their shoes. For me, it wasn't there. So by the time I finished and I graduated and I was able to see and understand, because I did take the bull by the horns in a sense, because I got myself involved in the student associations and I volunteered. And that was where I got to meet my first mentor, who right now is still my mentor. And I still go to him for all my concerns and all directions of stuff, because he ended up in the field that I studied. So, and he actually has a degree in economics, but he's working in the global affairs, kind of like international foreign affairs kind of stream, which for me, that really helped me, because he helped set me on that path, because he just told me, you know what you want, you just got to put in the work and then you know, keep doing what you're doing and you'll be good. So I think that's where I totally had that mindset of the universe will align. It depends when or where, however long it takes, but it will align. So by the time I did go into my master's degree, I was able to meet another mentor, which is my current supervisor. And in my current, in my new job now, I've actually gone to her to vent and to complain or to ask for clarification based on the fact that I've been thrust into so many things. With a lack of a better phrase, like, I think I oversold myself. So I've been put in so many situations where I've had to
I'll say something here. When George got his new job, George starts to say, he's like, Uzi, this is not me, they hired a fraud.
Let me put it into perspective. It's like, yeah, my old job, my job before this one in the UK, it was like chill. Like, you know, some jobs that you can actually go in and actually not, you can do the bare minimum and get away with it. But this one, you are under the spotlight in the sense that if you don't deliver, it will just end up bouncing back to your manager, which will now call you and be like, what is going on? So, like, I've been put under the spotlight and I've been forced to deliver. Like, I've been forced to come out of my comfort zone. Like, I've been forced to, like, go into spaces and pretty much, you know, be stern, be firm, be fair, and just deliver the speech or communicate. So, so, like, there's no hiding. In a sense, I've actually been able to communicate with my supervisor about this, because I've been thrown into a learning and development project that she actually helped me, you know, point me in the right direction. So for me, representation and mentorship is very, very important. And throughout my life, I've been fortunate enough to have that, and that has helped keep me grounded. Mm-hmm. It has helped me be able to ask the questions that I have needed to, I've had to ask, without feeling dumb or feeling like I'm, like I'm inadequate in a sense.
Yeah.
But being able to, that space where it's safe for you to express and feel and just share, because these people have been there before you. These people know. These people that they've been through it. And that has really, really helped me, because I feel like if not for that, I would have just been running around in circles and just kept on doing things. And, you know, pretty much I wouldn't be where I'm at today if not for the mentorship and the guidance. And then my friends, like Uzi and I have come a very, very long way. And I feel like in my mind, I feel like I see my achievements through my friends. And that's why I keep saying this, and I reinforce this all the time, that my friends' achievements are my achievements, because if my friend succeeds, like, that's a payday for me. Come on. I mean, I am a real champion for, like, mentorship and giving back. Yeah, and I've been fortunate enough to give back, because, like, if there's one thing I believe in, is karma, because the amount of energy you give and from what I've gotten, I feel like I've been obligated to give back to the society, which I currently am volunteering and mentoring a new group of commitment to people that are trying to change the world with the Clinton Global Initiative stuff.
And even with that too, here at Aston, I was able to mentor two or three students that have been slowly finding jobs and, you know, getting to that space where they want to be. So with that, for me, it comes back full circle because I'm able to see myself in that space and reach out and give, and also be open enough to receive that, you know, direction, that guidance. And I feel complete in a sense, I think.
That is amazing. So guys, we're going to round up this episode. I'm going to run all this episode. I'll be back. I feel like there's still a lot to be said, but we are going to round up this episode, guys. Thank you so much for coming. It was amazing having you. Any last words before we round up finally? Any germs you guys want to drop on us? No.
little nuggets. Life is dynamic. Oh, sorry, Jide. Life is dynamic. Resilience is a huge factor in any success story, because in as much as you plan and plan and plan, sometimes things do not go your way. And what sets you apart in that time is how you deal with it, how you deal with the fallout of that thing. You can take time out to solve. There's nothing wrong. You take a day, take two, stay in bed, Netflix for like the whole day, eat ice cream. But after that, you get back up, you get back on your drawing board plan, and you get back to work. And that's just how you do it. And you rely on friends, people you trust, and then you also help other people when you can, you know. Yeah, that's what I say.
Yeah.
Thank you. Olajide.
Yeah, I think for me, just in closing, you know, I always say, like, I'm not, you know, sounds wild, but I'm not afraid of, like, death doesn't scare me, you know, like, or I'm not afraid of dying. I think what scares me the most is of people dying and things like that is, I always think, like, that person had a dream, right? They had something they wanted to do tomorrow or next year, and they weren't able to achieve that. And I feel like that's what scares me more than anything. I feel like it drives me. So anything I really have that I want to do, just, you know, that fuels me, like, just push on. Like, whatever it is you have that you think, okay, this is my goal. Like, how bad can it be, right? Like, just really push through and try to see how you can, you know, accomplish your dreams. You know, like you said, friends, you have support system. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to talk to people. And anyone can help you. You never know who, you know, who can be a great support system to you. But, you know, just keep your eye on the ball, basically. And yeah, that's pretty much it. And I'm also, you know, really happy to connect with you guys, you know, here today, you know, meeting you guys. I think it's been great. So yeah, thank you for having me.
You shall be back. Yeah. George.
For me, I'd say, like, no matter where you come from, no matter how uncomfortable you feel when you're in a space, no matter what that space is, dream and just work as hard as you can to fulfill it, because all it takes is just one little moment or one window of opportunity for you to, you know, grab onto that, you know, that thing that takes you from that space where you're a dreamer into an achiever. So yeah. Like, dream as much as you want, because, like, the world today is so messed up to the point where it's that dream that puts you, you know, back in that space where you're able to aim for more. You're able to, you know, put your creative influence into the world. Like, no matter what happens, no matter what people say, dream, because at the end of the day, you are the author and the whatever. Yeah. So if you cannot dream, if you cannot be, you know, that author of your dreams, if you cannot be that one person that, you know, works on, you know, getting yourself to where you want to be, nobody else is going to do it for you, right? No matter what. So dream as much as you can, but at the same time, fight for that dream.
I always say dreaming is free. The work is the work that you pay for, and the how you pay for it is the effort you put into it. And to that, I would say, pray 100%, but work 100%. Like, literally do both at the same time and see how far you go. Guys, thank you so much for coming. I enjoyed having you. Until next time, guys, whatever it is you want to do, whoever it is you want to become, all you have to do is start. Thank you so much for watching this episode. I'll see you next week. Bye, y'all.